It's simple as that. When you give your word, you see to it that you fulfill your word. You do what you say you will do. Simple as that. I remember a few years ago in London, one of my sisters was moving, so some of their church members said they would come and help move. And so the day came, we rented the van and all that. We came to come and help my sister to move, and the so-called men who said they would come and help weren't there to help. They just didn't show up. And now there wasn't any text messages or any phone call. It's just, that's it. So myself and my brother-in-law and another brother, we moved. It wasn't easy. I went to church on Sunday with so much body pains. It took me weeks to recover. But by God's grace, I'm here. But you see, the point that I want to make from here is this is a character. The subject of commitment is something that a lot of Christians don't pay attention to. And so as a church and as children of God, we want to really look at the word of God and let the life that we live reflect the word of God. And commitment is something that the word of God teaches us. And so I want us to look at it and allow the word, the Lord to work on us in ways that will allow us to live a committed life. A life of commitment. Commitment is a character, and we need to work at it. So what is commitment? The dictionary defines commitment as the state or quality of being dedicated to a cause or activity. In summary, it is what transforms a promise into actuality. If I said I'll do something, it is the drive within me to say, okay, I am going to really carry out what I said I will do. That is the word commitment. And so commitment in our life, we there are so many things we are committed to. Commitment is part of human being. I mean, you see commitment in relationships, like for instance in marriages, there is commitment. You make a commitment to love someone for the rest of your life and to live with them and support one another to become the people God has called you to be. There's commitment also to God. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you accept him as your Lord and personal Savior, there is a life that you're supposed to live, and there is also that which he has promised that he would do if you remain faithful to him. We also see commitment in contracts. If you buy a new home, the mortgage, the loan that you get from a bank, you make a commitment to paying them the loan back. Also, we see them in jobs. If you take a new job, like for instance, I have just been called as your pastor to come and lead you. I need to be committed to you. And as a matter of fact, that is why I'm here, to be committed to the call that he has given me. To see and to understand that you are children of God, and that which he has called me to come and do, I need to do it faithfully and honorably to glorify him. And so every job has its requirements, and you need to remain committed to it. When you take a new telephone, you have to be committed to the contract that you said you will pay. A new television, we want a bundle. I want the telephone, I want the TV, and I want the internet. You need to commit to paying that bill too. And so, again, you see commitment in church membership. When you agree to become a member of a group of people that come together to worship, there is requirements and expectations, and there are things you need to do to keep the fellowship going. You give in the area of service, you also give in the area of financing, and you also give in the area of spiritual support, where you pray with one another, you support one another emotionally and mentally. And so there is commitment there too. Also, there is church ministry that all of us here, I love it when you enter the door and someone opens the door for you It is only the church you see this, right? Well, some of us pay to go to 5-star hotels and we see doors open for us. But you see, for the commoner like me, who might never be able to afford a 5-star hotel, when I come to church and I see men and women of God dedicated to opening the doors for us in ministry, they are committed to doing what they are doing. When you can come and a praise and worship leader, these are things we don't pay them here, but they do a service unto God. It's a commitment. And so today we are having all church workers meeting. It's an act of commitment. And those who give themselves, who say that they will serve in a particular ministry in the church, there is a commitment that is also required from all of us. And so you see commitment. And by looking at it, commitment becomes very important. Because if you cannot commit to anything, then who are you? And so why is commitment or honoring commitments important? Why is commitment or honoring commitment is important? Why is it important? The first point I want to talk about is that it is the nature of God. The God that we say we serve, the supreme God that we serve, the God who is made of three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, He is a committed person. He is a committed God. He is a committed God. It is the nature of Him to honor His word. He says that He has placed His word above Himself. He is not a man that He should lie. When He says He will do something, He does it. And we see this in the way He related with Abraham. Abraham, in Genesis chapter 12, God came to him and He called him and He promised Abraham, and He made sure He fulfilled His call to Abraham. And also, you see commitment in our Lord Jesus Christ when He came to this earth. And I want to spend some time looking at Jesus. Jesus stayed committed to His purpose right from childhood. From childhood, Jesus decided that He was going to be committed. Well, I mean, when you look at Luke chapter 2, verse 46 to 49, it tells us the story of how Jesus, as a child, went to the temple with his parents to go and worship. And his parents were returning back home, and Jesus is not with them. And they didn't realize Jesus was not with them. It took them days. After 3 days, they walked and walked and walked, and they realized, hold on, our sweet son is not with us. I bet in these days they will say child neglect, right? How can you live your life for 3 days without realizing that your child is not with you? But in those days, in that culture, it was normal. Like, for instance, my natural upbringing, I'm Ghanaian, in our culture, people take care of other kids. In my culture, at home, aunties, that's we have so many aunties and uncles and cousins, and because it's a communal, children are taken care by the community. And so it is understandable, also the same way it was those times, it is understandable that somebody could have been taking care of Jesus. He was probably with an auntie. So we can't blame them too much. But the point here is that He wasn't with them for 3 days. And the interesting thing is that in the verse, when you read and you come down, He says to His parents in the verse 49, "Why were you searching for me?" His parents came so upset and concerned and worried. And so He was in the temple listening to preaching and asking questions. And the word of God actually said that the people there were marveled at His wisdom. And so they come and rush at Him, Jesus, and He said, "Why were you searching for me?" He asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand what He was saying to them. For him, his age had nothing to do with whether to fulfill His task on earth or not. You see, young people here, no matter what you are, whatever age you are, it is easy to be tempted to think, oh, I'm going to live my life anyhow. And then when I grow and I become like Pastor Barnes, I start to look like Pastor Barnes, I will start living right. Or when I get to my father's age, I will start living right. It wasn't like that with Jesus. Jesus was committed to living according to his calling and purpose right from childhood. We are talking of around the age of 12 years here. And Jesus remains committed even like that. It doesn't matter what your age is. You can live a life of commitment to God. You can accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord, and he will come into your life, and you intend to love him. You intend to live for him. You intend to do the things that you are told to do. Not just that. Decide that you will grow up to become a successful person. You're not going to be a burden on society. And so you pursue education. You go to school, you learn the things you're taught, you study, you do your homeworks. Jesus is setting an example here right from childhood. And in this modern day, it doesn't matter whether you are old, middle age, or young. We all have to decide to live the life of commitment. We need to be committed to something. And we need to be committed to the call and the purposes that God has given to us. Again, even in temptation, Jesus stayed committed. When you look at Luke chapter 1 verse 4, the Bible says, Jesus full of the Holy Spirit left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. While Jesus was fulfilling his purpose, it was important, while he was filled with the Holy Spirit, the word of God says that the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted. And now there's a lot of teaching going on that the modern day Christian doesn't have to be tempted, right? It's a lie. The Holy Spirit will make sure you are ready and prepared for the calling and the purpose that God has given you. And so there are certain trials, there are certain difficulties that will come your way. It doesn't mean God is not with you. The Spirit of God is with you. He will strengthen you and encourage you through that situation. But we need to remain committed. We live in the days where sin is very easy. The level of morality in life has dropped these days. You could be sitting in your own living room with no paintings on your wall. You decide that you just want plain walls, but you find the devil somehow finding a way to bring sin to you, even at your door. And so as children of God, we see that when Jesus was tempted to sin by the devil, he chose not to sin because his purpose was to live a life of purity. He was going to die to save the world. And if he had sinned, then it was no more authentic for him to fulfill that purpose. So he overlooked sin. He chose to resist the devil. And so we have to be this kind of people. He will constantly try to bring hardships in our ways. He will try. We have to reject sin and take on the character of God. And part of the character of God is being committed to a cause. Being committed. And you find that if we remain committed people, there are certain trials, there are certain temptations that will not become temptation to us. You know, the devil knows us very well. And he knows the things he can tempt us with and the things he cannot. But if the child of God has the character of commitment in him towards his calling, towards his purpose, towards living for God, that becomes an underlining picture and tone for the devil. The devil will keep on seeking, how can I reach this guy? But your commitment will help you to come through this process. Again, you see Jesus, even through pain and dark times. Hebrews chapter 12, 2-3, Hebrews chapter 12, 2-3 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Even in the midst of pain, look at the cross. In those times, the cross was the most shameful punishment for a sinner, for someone that does a wrong thing. And this was the Son of God who was going through this hardship time. The word of God says that he was deformed. He was beat to the point that he was beaten and broken and messed up to the point that he was unrecognizable. When you watch him, you can't recognize that he is Sam, or he's this person, or he's that person, or he's this person. The word of God that is used there, that he became a heap of flesh. Can you imagine? Flesh that has no shape. And so when we watch the movies and we see a human being that is hanging on the cross, it is not what happened to Jesus. But even in the midst of all that, he remained faithful to the Father. And so as children of God, this tells us that hard times will come our way. Jesus' mission was both challenging, very difficult, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. The Son of God, who knew no sin, suddenly the sin of the whole world was placed upon him. It challenged him on all levels. It wasn't easy, but he endured. It is no surprising then that at the end of it all, he said, it is finished. It is finished, and give up his spirit. Majority of the time, it is the feeling of discomfort that makes us break our promise. Have you thought of why you're choosing not to pay the bill? Have you thought of why you're choosing not to come to church and pray? Have you thought of why you don't want to read your Bible? Most of the time, it is the feeling of discomfort. This is going to be hard for me, so I'm not going to go through it. But you have already said you will do it. And so when the challenges of the decision that you have made arises, you don't bail out. You go through it. You face it. Nobody told you to go and get an iPhone 10 and paid over $1,000 for it. So now, if you have to pay the bill that T-Mobile sends you, you need to pay. Then now you start making excuses. I haven't paid my tithe. I need to pay my, excuse me. And then we go into prayer and we put the bill on the floor and we start stamping it. I cancel it in the name of Jesus. Excuse me. You have the bill. They will come for you. The bailer will come for you. But you are saying, I'm bailing out because it is hard for me to pay. No, you have to be a person of your word. I said I would do this, so I have to. And my son knows this about me. So he plays it really well. He comes to me and he says something in a line nicely. Daddy, so after school, when I come and I'm good at school and I come home, I can have my lollipop, right? And I'm like, that's the guy trying to corner me. He's if I say yes, now this guy finishes eating his dinner, the first thing, daddy, my lollipop. And if I say no, you can't. Daddy, you said. Daddy, you said. So, before you make that decision, think about it. have to go through it. You have to. The Christian of today must understand that when we accept to do something, there may be difficult challenges. And so we need to be willing to face the challenges that come with the decisions that we make. We need to. Now, the next point I want us to look at is that it is important to remain committed because it is an instruction from God. Come with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, 33 to 37. In your Bibles. It's an instruction from God. And I read 33. Again, this is Jesus speaking. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is God's footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simple yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the devil. Other translations say the evil one. So Jesus has given us a clear instruction there. And as children of God, if we love God, we will see that it is God's instruction to us to live a life of commitment. Jesus makes it so simple. If you know you cannot commit to it, don't go for it. But if you go for it, you need to see it through. But you see, with God, there is room for mistakes when we make mistakes. If you have started an agreement, a contract, and you realize that, hold on, this one is more than I thought, there is also a way to kindly ask for permission. Please. I said I will come, but after looking at the expectations that you have for me, try and come to some agreement with the person involved here, the other person involved, whatever the situation is. But the point I want to make here is that it is important to understand that it is a command. It is an instruction, and we need to obey the instruction. The word of God says, the Lord Jesus again says, if you love me, you obey my instructions, my word. And the Lord Jesus is speaking to us clearly here that we obey him. We obey him. Not only in saying that we are children of God, but in committing to the relationship that we have with him. Loving him, worshiping him, exalting him, living by his word, and being an example in our community. And going through with decisions that we make. We are in the second month. It's ending. The third month is starting. Don't forget the promises you made on 31st night. We have resolutions that we are not abiding by. We don't have a strategy. We don't have a plan to fulfill it. Some of us have forgotten the things we said we would do. The gym that you went to, you see again, you've gone to take up gym membership. You are not going to work out, but they are taking the money from your account. You go to the doctor, they give you a plan, medical plan, antibiotics. You know, the thing with antibiotics, they always tell you, make sure you finish the prescription that is given you. Don't leave it in the middle. Some of us, we start taking 2 days. We start feeling, okay, so that's it. It's all right. I'm not going to take it anymore. Do you know how much your insurance company paid the doctor? And then we cover it with Holy Ghost. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. We speak some tongues and we are okay. And then a few weeks after, the virus kicks in again and we are like, oh, I need to go and see the doctor. You see how the doctor is taken from you? You weren't committed to the instructions that you were given. Just take the medicine. 5 days, 7 days program. Do it. Many of us want to lose weight. We have died, so many died. And some of us, I'm doing a Daniel fast. And I listen to people a lot. But get closer to them, you realize they are not committed to anything. Oh, let us fast. If I declare a fast here for 3 days, people will come, they want to fast. First day, maybe they. Then the second day, I can even do a 1 to 2. Change your mind in the middle of it. Jesus went there for 40 days. Our Jesus, our Lord and Master Savior, did 40-day fast. That means that me, who is not Jesus, I need more than 40 days. Commitment is important because it's a command to us. Not just that. The third point I want to look at is, it is that which helps us to achieve God's kind of success. You see, when it comes to God, success is not the money, that is not the big house, or it's not the new car we want to buy. God wants to give us good things. He wants to give us houses to live in. He wants to give us some of the best cars in this world to drive. He's God. He can do anything you want for you. But what's important to him might not be what's important to you. And so God's kind of success is totally opposite to my kind of success. Don't look at the outward appearance and make a judgment that it is right. And so when you look at 2 Timothy, let's read 2 Timothy, please. 4:7-8. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on the day, and not only to me, but also to all who have what? Longed for his appearing. The Apostle Paul makes clear that which is important in there. The crown of righteousness, for I have kept the faith. Many of us are not working on our righteousness. It is okay to give your boss all your time at work. But when it comes to your salvation and the life of living for God, you make excuses. But it is not important to God. The dollar you will make on this earth is not important to God. It's not that God doesn't expect you to earn income. God, he himself will bless you and he will promote you. But we need to remain faithful. And God's kind of success is that person that glorifies him. And many Christians today are not glorifying the Father. Our lifestyles are not example. Our character is so bad. Even in the house of God, we treat ourselves so badly. So badly. And so how do we live the life of commitment? How do we live a life that is committed to God? Yes, we have to. We realize that it's important to, because it is the word of God for us to live a life of commitment. It is the nature of God, and the nature of God of commitment has to be seen in us. So now, how do we live this life? The first one I want to talk about is we must decide to do, to be committed. Decide to be committed. If you are a child of God that has accepted the Lord Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, decide to be committed to Jesus. You're going to live that the musicians here probably would sing it better. I'm not looking back. I'm going forward. I'm not looking back. I'm not going to sing it. My wife will laugh at me. Some of us, Jesus has come to die to save us and set us free. But we are still people that he died for. The life that we were living, we are the same people. We need to go forward. And so, we must decide. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8 says, but Daniel as a young Jewish boy who had found himself in captivity in Babylon, he gets there to the king's palace. And this is what the word of God says about Daniel chapter 8. The writer says, Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Do you see? Right from when Daniel entered into the king's palace and he saw the food they ate, and he saw the things that they drink, he decided, I am not going to defile myself with this food. It's a decision you need to make. The time of talking is enough. The time of praying, there is a place for prayer. We will get there. But there are certain things, it is not prayer. I remember a brother in deliverance ministry, a brother came to us and he said that he is struggling with sexual immorality. He finds himself every time being led by the devil to go and sleep with women. And so, our lead pastor, who was in charge of the deliverance ministry, said to him, you know, next time when the devil comes to tell you, go and sleep with somebody, don't get up and dress, wear your shoe, wear your shirt, wear your jacket, put your raincoat on and walk in the rain all the way to the woman's house. Stand there, knock on the door, let her open the door, come half naked. You see her and you stay in her house, cook for you, drink, eat, and then you finish and sleep with her. Do you see the process? He made the decision to go. The devil will tempt you. It doesn't mean that if you get up and go, if you don't get up to go, you have sinned. Many of us have to make a decision as children of God that as for this, like the way Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need to make a decision that I am going to be committed to this cause. And once we make that decision, the Holy Spirit can also help us. Many of us know what to do. We know how much it cost to live a life of commitment, but we are not willing to pay the price. But we want all the benefits that come with what we see with our eyes, but we don't want to pay the price. Children of God, there is price to be paid, and we have to make up our mind that we are going to go through it. You see, many of us are okay with not committing to anything. Let me ask a question here right now. Oh, who can come out tomorrow? Everybody will be sitting there quietly looking at me. Oh, I don't want to say yes. Then tomorrow, if I'm not able to come, then he will be expecting me to come. And excuse me, you're not doing me. You're not doing me. You are honoring God. Make a decision. Stay by your decision and see it through. It's important. Yeah? Make a decision. It is okay for some of us to live wishy-washy life. I'm good today, tomorrow I'm not. Because we don't commit to anything. Some of us know we like the woman. We want to marry her. I like this girl. I want to marry her. Oh, if I marry her, then I have to stick with her forever. Excuse me? Marriage is a life full of commitment. We know this. We know what it takes to be married. And so because of this, most young men don't want to decide that they will marry the girl. But you are always around the girl. Don't waste the girl's time if you are not ready for her. Other guys want good women, Holy Ghost women. Let me tell you, please, if the guy is not making up his mind, don't waste your time with him. Another Holy Ghost guy is watching you every day, waiting for his opportunity. And so don't waste time. If the guy is not ready, pray and move on. We don't, many people, look, it's a problem. Many people don't want to decide what they want to do. You want a bachelor's degree, but you don't want to sit up at night to study. But you want the degree, you want the money that comes with it. But you won't sit down. Young adults, please, spend time, be busy with the Bible and be busy with your studies. Don't waste time on unnecessary things. Decide that which is important. It's not every meeting you have to be in. It's not every person you have to relate with. Make up your mind. This Jesus thing is serious for me. It's important to me. Number one. With time, we will study on purpose. Who am I? What is my purpose on this earth? Where am I going? And you decide to live the life that honors God. Be serious with important things. Before I continue, I'm going to step into this soon. The next point is that we must rely on the Holy Spirit. Jesus relied on the Holy Spirit on this earth. I spoke on the anointed church last time, and I used Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 19, where Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. He has set the oppressed free to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." You see, Jesus depended on the Holy Spirit to do everything that he wants. He came to this earth to achieve. Why is it that we children of God, we want to live on this earth without depending on the Holy Spirit? Meanwhile, it is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit. If we want to live the life of success that God has for us, then we need to learn to depend on the Holy Spirit. And you know, in depending on the Holy Spirit, you don't decide what you want and you come and tell the Holy Spirit to help you. No, you let him lead you. Jesus was led into the wilderness. Do you think Jesus wanted to go into the wilderness to be tempted? No. But he allowed himself to be led there. Many of us are not asking God what we want to do. Your career that you want to embark on. Is it God telling you, "I want you to study this thing"? The new mobile contract that you want. Is God leading you to take it? Or there is some love for this world that is, you know, fashion. Everybody's using iPhone 5. iPhone 10 is the new thing now. If I also use iPhone 10, people will see me and they will respect me and they will think I have money. Excuse me, you don't have it too. You are going to leave. You don't have it. Do you know that the rich people, they don't buy these things. When they make them, they send them a copy. Use it for us. Test it. Every time my car company is writing me letters. "Oh, we'll give you this discount. We'll give you that discount." But there are some of us, they are not even begging us to come. We take ourselves there and they give us high interest rates, and we are suffering. We think that God does not care about us. It is not God. He's not leading you to the places you go. That guy that you want to marry, did God tell you to marry him? The nightclub you have been going every night, is it where you meet Jesus? When nobody is watching you, the things that you watch, is it the Holy Ghost telling you to watch them? If he's not leading you, don't expect him to help you to fulfill your achievement. You come here, everybody is serving. That girl sings, so me too, I have to be seen. You don't want to, you know you are going to become a praise and worship member, but you are not willing to pay the price of coming every night to come and rehearse. But you want to come to be seen standing up here. Please, don't come. If the decision to come is not because you love God and to come and glorify God, please don't sign up and waste anybody's time. Why is that young pastor standing there preaching? Me too, I have to preach. Excuse me, do you know the price I have paid to stand here? It is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. What God has not led you to do, don't go and do it. Don't commit to it. So you see, the word of God says that be quick to hear, but be slow to respond. And so in the process, the people want to tell you stuff. You pause and you listen to them. But before you give an answer to say, yes, I will do it or no, the Bible is saying, relax, be slow. And in that process of thinking about it, the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom. And you might have to say yes or no. Oh no, sorry, I can't make it. Oh yes, I can make it, but this is how I'll do it. You need to be clear. But it will all be because the Spirit of God is leading you. And then when he leads you like that, and you obey him like that, he strengthens you. You see, Jesus, after the 40 days of trial and temptation, he came in the power of the Holy Ghost. Some of us want the power, but we are not ready to pay the price. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. The last point. Just do it. Be doer, not hearer. James 1:22 says, do not merrily, listen, we studied about it, we read that passage today. Do not merrily listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. It's simple. Do what the Bible says. I tell you, if you stay close to the Bible, you will not mess up. I learned this at early stages in my life with the Lord. I said, so life is this easy with the Bible, and I've been messing up like this. And since I made that decision to live my life by the Bible, I have such an easy life and a prosperous life. So simple. It is not easy, but when you stick to the word of God, the Holy Ghost will strengthen you, and just do it. So it's not head knowledge. We know too much in the house of God, but many little of us put to work that which we know, the knowledge that God has given us. And God says that he that much is given, much is required of. And Jesus says that our generation will be tried the most, our trial will be most difficult. Because we know so much, there's so much media around us. Go on the internet, type something, all the information comes. Google. Now we even have Alexa in our room. Alexa, what is this? Alexa tells you. Some of us, we even ask Alexa whether we should read the Bible or not. This is serious, brothers and sisters. And so we are going to pray. Like I've said, commitment
It's a character. And it is the character of the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God dwells with us. Before we pray, I want to give you the opportunity. If you know you are not living a life of commitment, you are not committed to the Lord Jesus,